Joining as we now continue this important retreat that Father gave back in 1973. At the end of tape number two, we were speaking about Saint Maximina and how her blood had flowed. Why had she not bled for 1600 years and is now bleeding? Because little boys and girls like you are going to be asked the same questions. You will be older than you are now, but not much older. As a young boy or girl, you will be asked to have nothing to do with Jesus. God is teaching everybody in the world, men and women, boys and girls, you must never leave Jesus. You must be ready to die. Remember, they may do terrible things, but you must be ready to die, because you, in leaving this world, will be going home to heaven, where God the Father is waiting for you. Remember the day of your first Holy Communion? Think of how the love of Jesus has been waiting to come to you. Since the day you were born, children, He waited and waited. You were not waiting that long. Don't you remember when your mother used to take you by the hand and went to Holy Communion, or your father, and you had to kneel with them, and you could not receive Holy Communion? Then your mother and father said, "Well, you are going to go to Holy Communion next year, and we are going to start preparing you. We will start to learn the catechism and learn more prayers than you already know." Then one day you went to Holy Communion. Think of how long Jesus had waited to come to you. Well, now, children, Jesus is still waiting for you to come to Him. That is the day you die. If you have to, children, if you have to suffer in the days to come, that means 2 more years, 4 more years. If you have to suffer for Jesus, don't be afraid, because the angel is there. The angel will help you to be good to Jesus. He will help you love Him even while the devil is hurting you. Even while the devil is hating you terribly, the angel will be there. They may hurt you, and they may beat you. They may say they are going to beat you terribly, and you will be afraid. And even while it hurts you, the angel will help you to still love Jesus. Now, children, that is how much the devil hates you. He will have big people do terrible things to you. But do you know what the most terrible thing in the world is? It is not my punching this little boy in the face. That would just hurt him. The most terrible thing in the world is for me to teach him how to sin. The most terrible thing in the world after teaching him how to sin is to put the wrong knowledge into his poor little head, to teach him error. Now, that's what grown-ups are doing today, children. You are very lucky to go to this school, because it is not happening to you, but it is happening to other children in other cities. It is happening all over the country. The children are being taught, "Don't listen to your mother and father. You don't have to tell them anything. Don't trust them." I bet if I told you that day after day and said that your mother and father are not to be talked to, they're not to be trusted, you would believe it. They are not so devious. They don't send you playing with bad companions. Now, if adults tell you that over and over again, children, in the classroom and on television, it is easy to believe that, because adults taught you how to swim, and sure enough, that's the way to swim. They tell you how to run a lawnmower, and sure enough, that is the way to run a lawnmower. They tell you how to start an automobile engine, and sure enough, that is the way to do it. Well, then, when they tell you something else that's evil, and you don't know it, well, you believe them, don't you? You believed them before? Well, that's what the devil does to little children. He uses human beings and other bad angels to teach the children to sin. God gave you guardian angels, children. Get accustomed to the idea, I am never alone. Do you remember the catechism when you were getting ready for First Holy Communion? Who made me? God made me. Why did God make me? To know Him and to love Him and to serve Him in this world and then make me happy with Him forever in the next. But what else did the catechism say? The catechism says, where is God? And the answer is, God is everywhere. He is here. Even while He is here, He is at the house. Even while He is at the house, He is with your Father while He is working. Even while God is with your Father while He is working, God is with your big brother who is out playing baseball right now. Where is God? God is everywhere. How can God know everything? God knows all my thoughts. God sees all of my actions. God knows everything. But children, would you commit a sin in front of your mother and father? Then would you commit a sin when God sees you do everything? Children, when I was 10 years old, there was a boy in the 8th grade, a very smart boy. His mother and father had come from Italy, but he was born in America. He was an only boy, and he was their only child. They had no other children except Johnny. And Johnny's mother and father were crazy about that boy. During their departure from his country, people did not have money, so the children had very few gifts. He was the only boy in the whole school that had a bicycle. He was a very good boy and a very generous boy. He was also very popular. He was only 12, and he was in the 8th grade. He never seemed to study, but he had the highest marks. He had a wonderful way about him, and the children were crazy about him in the lower grades. I was one of those children. Because he had a bike, and because he was a very generous boy, he would let anybody ride the bike that wanted to learn how to ride the bike, who was in the 8th grade. He would not let the younger children. One of his friends was learning how to ride the bike, and that friend had a newspaper route, and when school was over, the friend got on the bicycle and Johnny got on the handlebars, and they went down the hill lickety-split. They went shooting across the street, parked the bike, and picked up all the newspapers. And then Johnny would pedal home, and the young fellow would take his newspapers and deliver them. Johnny was killed on the bicycle by an automobile because the boy was coming down the hill, and he did not know what to do about the brakes at that kind of high speed. The bike began to slither, and so he took his feet off the brakes, and he went right on into the traffic. That was a long time ago. Let us see how long ago it was. The boy was only 12, and I was in the 6th grade. Then when I graduated from high school, on the day that we graduated, one of the fellows, a nice fellow, said it was so blamed hot, which it was, we were melting in those gowns we had to wear for graduation. It was so hot that he was going swimming. When he got to the lake to go swimming, there was a boat, and he got into the boat. Now he didn't swim, but he did wade out and walked around. He could not swim, but he went out in the boat. He never came back. He was in the bottom of the lake that night. They looked and looked, and they found him the next morning. That is when I was in high school. I am telling you this, children, because you might be in the 4th grade, or you might be out of grammar school. But you understand that, as young as you are, you can leave your mother and your father forever. You can die. Now, grown-ups don't talk to little children like this, but you need to know, children, how many days are left to love Jesus. There are just a certain number of days or months or years or many years, or maybe you will be 99 when you die. See, little children, think that they're going to live and live, and they're going to grow up, and they are going to have a big family, and someday they are going to be grandparents, and there are going to be little children that love them. But you may not see the summer vacation, children. So why don't you love Jesus today? See, little children, don't worry about loving Jesus today. They know that they love him, but they don't give him much time today, do they? Because there is so much to do today. There is so much fun, and there are so many things that you have to do around the house. When you get older, you will spend more time, like your mother and father do, praying prayers. In the meantime, when you used to pray the family rosary at night, you don't mind, but you are sure glad when it's over. When you get a little bit older, you will understand. Someday I may never pray the rosary again, because I will have died. So while I am praying the rosary today, I surely am going to pray it well. Now, you children come from homes where you have been told all about the world. You have been warned about bad companions. You have been warned about classmates. I don't want you to ever play with that boy. No, you're never to go to school. Now, walking down the street with her, never. You've been told that your girlfriends or your classmates are not suitable. You might be in third grade, and there may be a girl that you are crazy about, and at school you jump rope and play hopscotch and have lots of fun at recess. You two girls every single day just love to walk home from school, talking a long time and just talking, and your mother says, I don't want you to play with that girl anymore. You have been warned about your companions. You have been told. Now every time that you go with Walter, every single time that you do, you get in trouble. Walter is heading for the police. When he gets a little bit older, he is going to be arrested, and you are not going to be allowed to play with Walter after school anymore. Now, you have been warned, and you have been told reasons why you cannot play with certain companions, and you have been told that there are many books that you are never to look at. You have been told that you cannot turn on the TV and just sit there and watch it. There are only certain programs that you might watch. You have been told by your parents that TV is no good. You have been warned against teachers in school. You have been warned about terrible lies that can be found even in catechisms. You children are different from other children, because you have parents who are trying to protect you from the most terrible sin in the world. That is the sin of abandoning Jesus forever. You are little boys and girls, and you don't think it could happen. But do you know that in another 5 years, you might do it? You will be old enough then to be in mortal sin all the time. No one wants to be in mortal sin. If the devil has his way, your mortal sins will put out your fire of faith like water puts out fire, and that is what the devil is working for. The devil wants to do two things, children. He really exists. Not only Catholics believe that, the very evil people who worship the devil believe that. They say prayers to him, terrible prayers. They do terrible things to honor the devil. They even kneel down. They even offer him sacrifice. Oh, lots of people believe in the devil who are not Catholic, who are not Christians, who hate God. Little children, the devil is after you and God is after you. So far, God is having his way. So far, God is able to get from you love, and prayer, and good conduct, and you are growing up to be a very promising child of God. The devil is not about to let you go just because God has a hold on you. The devil is holding on to the flowers in your hair. He is holding on to the hem of your dress. You cannot shake loose. He is always there. Oh, God holds you firmly by the hand, but the devil thinks if he can stay around long enough, you will let go of God's hand. That is what he is working for, and he will do it because he is Satan. Every boy and girl in this room is a prize that the devil is after. But there are some boys and girls that are more precious. For example, if you are very hungry, I can give you a bologna sandwich, and you will be very glad to have it if you are very hungry. It is valuable because you are hungry. But I could also give you a $15,000 diamond ring, and that is more valuable, isn't it? That is how the devil looks at you. He sees other children, and they are just bologna sandwiches. But you are a $15,000 jewel. He wants you very badly. He's mean, craving souls. He will assign two or three devils to get you. If one cannot do the job, if at the age of seven he has not been able to do anything with you, he will try harder. At the age of 10, if he doesn't have a good hold on you, well, he will send a legion. He will send 20,000 demons. Shows that he wants you. He is going to gang up on you. So you haven't got a chance without God. This is what happens to the boys and girls who are older than yourselves, pass into high school and pass into a life of mortal sin and lose God and lose him forever. This country is filled with high school students who no longer believe in God. If you don't believe in God, children, then you have to see what is the final result. The devil has two things that he wants to do with children, that he wants to do with adults. Two things. He wants to put hell into human beings. He wants to make you so unhappy that you cannot bear to live another day. He wants you to go crazy with unhappiness. He wants you to kill yourself because you cannot bear to be so unhappy. He wants you to take drugs to destroy your brain. They cannot bear to be so unhappy. He wants you to be impure so that you hate yourself so much that you will take your life or take drugs or go insane. He wants to put hell in you now so that later on he can put you in hell. Do you understand that, children? He's mean. He's cruel. The devil is terribly cruel. He's unbelievably cruel. He wants to feed on you in hell forever. He wants to burn you forever in hell. Why? Because he was supposed to be in heaven, but he lost it on purpose through his own fault. He lost heaven forever. You are going to have it. Oh, the devil does not want that. Why are you going to have it? Because God made you. He is your heavenly Father, and he wants you in heaven, and you are a child of God. You belong to God. He owns you. He gave you all your life. He gave you your mother and father, your brother and sister. He gave you your eyes. God made the decision what would be the color of your hair. God made the decision that you would be so many inches tall and weigh so many pounds when you were 8 years old. God decided all before he made the world. God decided that you would have a ponytail, and God decided that you would have blue jeans on the 12th of April, and on the 29th of March, that had a hole in the side pocket. Everything in the world except sin was planned by God, children. Everything. God made all the plans. He made the plan that it would rain on Valentine's Day. He made the plan that the temperature would be 92 on Memorial Day. God planned the whole world and everything in it except sin. The devil knows that, and he has another plan. And that plan is, after you have loved God and served God in this world, then there's heaven. Heaven is ahead. God wants you forever in heaven. What is heaven? Heaven is a place. Heaven is a place where I will see God face to face. What is heaven? Heaven is life with God. I am going to live with God, and I am going to love God, and He is going to love me in turn. I am going to be with Him forever, discovering Him. I will never get to know Him. There is so much to know. I will never get to love Him the way that I should, because He is infinitely lovable. There is no limit. God has a place for me in heaven already. He made me, and the day I was born, I was a prince. If I'm a boy, I was a princess if I'm a girl. There is a schedule to arrive in heaven on the day that I die. This schedule, God knows the day I'm going to die. He has it arranged that I am going home. After a time here on earth of 7 years, or 12 years, or 82 years, I am going home. I cannot stop the motion. Going home, that's living. Every day of my life, I have to eat. I drink. Every day of my life, I grow up a little bit more. Every day of my life, I get a little bit older. Every day of my life, I get closer to that day I am supposed to arrive in the kingdom of heaven and go before Christ the King as a princess or a prince in the court of heaven. That's why I was made. I was not made for this world. I was not made to be a student. I was not made to be the sister of my brother Walter. I was not made to be the brother of my sister Marie. I was not made to be the only child or the 11th child of a family. I was made for God, and I was made by God, and I was made for heaven. I was made for living and loving with God forever. That is why I was made. I am scheduled to go to Him. I am scheduled to go as a princess in the court of heaven or a prince. I am not going to be a girl there or a boy. I am not going to be a lady or a man. I am going to be a princess because Jesus Christ, the King and the Queen of Angels and Saints, live there in heaven waiting for me. God wants you badly. God wants you so badly, He even died to make sure He could have you. He died so that He could open the gates of heaven for me. But He did more than that. He died so that one day I might be a saint. He died that terrible death so that even if I became a sinner, I could still go to heaven. Think of all that God did for me. Look at how He suffered and died to prove that there is nothing He would not do for me. So I can ask. I can ask Him to forgive me my sins. Look at what He did for me, and I never asked Him. They beat Him terribly. They put the crown of thorns on His head, and they beat the thorns in. After they beat our blessed Savior so terribly, then they tore off the clothing and ripped the wounds open again, and the pain was dreadful. Remember, Jesus had carried the weight of the cross on His back. The cross pressed against the wounds and wore them open and ripped them open. and made Jesus lie down, and those cruel men smashed nails into him. They then hung Jesus from the nails for hours. Now, that's what Jesus did to prove to me there is nothing he won't do for me. There is nothing Jesus won't do to save me. Jesus could not do more than that, could he? He was tormented to death, children, to prove that I can ask him anything. If it is for his glory and the good of souls, he will always give it to me. Jesus says, "If your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow." So, children, if it is your misfortune to grow up and commit mortal sin, the first thing you do is go to confession and your sins are forgiven. The instant that dreadful mortal sinner receives the absolution of the priest, the same instant that the mortal sin goes, you become a tabernacle. There are three divine persons in your soul, and you are clean and pure and holy and pleasing to God, and if you die, you are going to heaven. You see, children, the day you were baptized, original sin was taken from your soul. The day you were baptized, you became a child of God and an heir to the kingdom of heaven. You became a member of the church. You became a part of the mystical body of Jesus Christ. But what the devil is interested in is the fact that you are an heir to the kingdom of heaven. That is what an heir is. You've got a mansion ahead of you. It's been left to you by God. It's called heaven. There are many rooms in that mansion in heaven, and it's yours. The devil wants you to never go, because he was supposed to be there. He was supposed to be the first prince in the whole court, the first higher than all the angels and all of the saints. He lost it all, and he went to hell, and he's going to be there forever. He wants to make sure there are very few princes and very few princesses in the court of heaven. He wants to make sure that hell is crowded. What was his temptation, children? He wanted to be God. He refused to admit that he was created. He refused to admit that there is a God above who had made him. He knew how precious he was. He knew how wonderful he was. He knew the power he had. He looked at himself and he could not take his eyes away from himself. And he said, "I will not serve. I will not submit. I will not acknowledge there is a God." That was a temptation to be God. So in hell, what does he do? He plays in the fire like a monkey does. A monkey who thinks he is a human being. The devil began to play the part of God. The devil tries to imitate God. Does God have princes and princesses in the court of heaven? Do the guardian angels stay with you all day to make sure you go to heaven? Well, Satan will assign the devils to see to it that you do not go to heaven. So he works for the day when he will have you. Now, children, that is his purpose, to take you out of this world unprepared. Now, he does not know when you will die. He does not know how you will die, but this he does know: you are going to die. Though you may not ride on the handlebars of a bicycle like Johnny did, and you may not be found the next day in the bottom of a lake like the poor boy was found, you may be 82 years old when you die, but in the meantime, until you die, the devil has a very busy schedule for himself. He is going to teach you how to sin. Like I told you, he is a marvelous teacher. The devil is the best teacher in the whole world among evil teachers. The very best, because once he teaches you mortal sin, he never has to teach you again. You learn so well that you practice the sin thereafter more easily and more perfectly all the time. You become a better liar after you've told that first lie. Now, that evil teacher does not want you to know that he is around. The devil does not advertise his presence. You do not see him, and you do not hear him, but time and time again, he sneaks up on you, and there it is, I committed a sin again. How many times have you had a bad temper, been mad at your mother because she would not let you do something? How many times have you been so disrespectful that you dare go to your room, slam the door, turn around, and know your father cannot see you, and stick out your tongue? That is not just the temper, children. That means that you have listened to someone who put the idea in your head. That's the devil. He is a good teacher. You do not have to hear him. You do not have to see him. But you learned your lesson just like that. You do not have to think about it at all. You were on your way to your room, and you did not know whether to cry or to keep quiet. Because you were so mad, you would not even know how mad you were. So you left your mother and father in the kitchen after they said, "No, you won't go." You went through the door, and at the last instant, it popped in your mind, mad. Oh, so you slammed the door, and the next thing that popped in was stick out your tongue. Now they can't see you. Grind your teeth, clench your fists, say, "Oh!" All those thoughts that came to you, they were from your guardian angel, weren't they? Oh, they're from the devil, aren't they? Who obeys the good teacher of evil? He's real good. He's a rotten preacher, but he's a good teacher. You learn quickly, and you never forget the lesson. Children, what does he do when you're 7 years old and 9 years old and 11 years old? He's getting you ready for the big sin. He's warming you up. He is developing you. What are the big sins he is after? He is after mortal sins in your life. He wants to teach you impurity. He wants to teach you to be the same, not to be different from other children. You don't mind it all that much if you're 7 or 9 and your mother says, "Now this is how you are to dress." No, you are not going to that movie. No, you are never going to play with Mary Jane again. I don't want you walking to school or ever to be seen with Walter again. When you are 7, 8, or 9 years old, you don't like it, but it's not all that bad. Oh, but when you get in the 7th grade and the 8th grade, that's another story, isn't it? Then you don't want to be different from other children. You say, "Everybody plays with Walter. Why can't I play with Walter?" You're tempted to talk back to your own mother and father, who were given you by God to be loved and respected and obeyed and reverenced. This is a real terrible sin, children, to be disrespectful to your mother and father. You snap and snarl to yourself when your mother and father do not let you have your way. What does that good teacher of terrible evil do to prepare you for mortal sins that he hopes will come to you at a very early age? Their guardian angel is day by day teaching you goodness, and this good angel is teaching you wonderfully well, so the day will never come that you will ever be in mortal sin. But we are interested now in the devil. What's his plan? His plan, remember, I told you, is to put hell inside you here on earth so that one day he can put you in hell. He wants to teach you so much evil that you will hate yourself so much and be so discouraged that you will stop asking God's pardon. You will stop asking for mercy and will quit on God. Then you will have to escape from yourself. You will take drugs, or you will go insane, or you will commit suicide. That is what the devil wants to do to little children. He wants to get them ready for the year when they are 14, 16, 18, and 20, so that mortal sin is a way of life. The way of life that you have now is that you rise in the morning, you pray your prayers, you have breakfast, and after you've washed and dressed, you're off to school. You do it every day except Saturday and Sunday. That is a way of life. The devil wants to have mortal sin in your life as a way of life. He wants you to have it. He wants you to have it every single day. I told you he wants to put hell in you, suffering. He wants to take away all your happiness. He wants you to wither up. He does not want you to grow and blossom. He wants you to wither up, dry up. He wants you to be sour. He wants you to be bitter. He wants you to have no use for your father and mother. He wants you to hate adults. He wants you to trust nobody who is not in school with you. He wants you to be terribly curious about sin and filthiness. He wants to teach you that the risk, the thrill of the risk, that's how you're really happy. He wants to teach you to ride your motorcycle at top speed with no headlights, just for the thrill of it. He wants to teach you how to ride your motorcycle at top speed without a helmet or a face mask, just for the thrill of it, as you go through bumpy fields. He wants to teach you to ride in an automobile, 4, 5 children at one time, with one boy holding his hands over the eyes of the driver to see who will be the first child to pull away his hand so the driver can see. It's all fun and it's all thrills. It's exciting. And that's how you're happy in this world? That's what the devil teaches you. You know what he's really doing, don't you, children? He is getting you ready for the accident that's going to bring you to hell. He is trying to see to it that something happens so that you will die, because he cannot kill you. He cannot take you out of this world. Before God made the world, God decided that the schedule was for your arrival on the day of judgment. Now remember, the fact that you're here means there is a schedule. The fact that you are no longer a baby in your mother's arms means that you're moving. You are growing up, and you are getting nearer the day when Jesus Christ will be your judge, and the devil knows that. So the devil is trying to teach you happiness and thrills. Happiness is living dangerously. Happiness is doing what the rest are doing. Happiness is not being different. There is an awful lot of people that don't want to take drugs, and they don't. They have not in the past, and they do it tomorrow. Why? They're just no longer able to be different from the gang. So they're going to go along because they don't want anyone poking fun at them, laughing at them, ridiculing them. They do not want any fellow bigger than themselves pushing them around. So they are going to give in, and they are going to try pills, maybe even try needles, because they do know, oh well, after all, there must be something to it all. These children are just going crazy about drugs. You understand the danger of drugs? You understand that once you get hooked, you cannot get free? But after all, there must be something thrilling about it. The devil is a good teacher, and the devil is a liar, and he never tells the truth. He has got a big plan, and the plan is to put hell into you now, right now, so that he can get you ready for hell forever by having your flame of faith go out. The devil wants to quench it with the water of mortal sin. There are boys and girls in high school. You know who they are. They dress shamefully. They make angels blush. They speak dirty. They think dirty, and they act dirty. They make fun of very good girls or very good boys who are in the state of grace every day. They have vicious tongues, and they know how to wound and call dreadful names, ridiculous names, to make others laugh at the good girls and the good boys in the class or in the school. The devil wants company, and so do sinners. So the first danger, children, of your life is a bad companion, bad classmates. You must listen to your mother and father, and you must obey them. You must know that there is no one in the whole school who gives a hoot about you, except two or three children who really like you. You may be popular, but there are only two or three or four children who are your real, true friends, who would do a lot for you. For example, there may be a boy who is your best friend at school, real good chum. He even told a lie to the principal and got punished. He said he was the one who did it. You didn't know that he lied and got punished just to save you from getting punished. That's a real friend. Even though he did wrong, see, he's too young to know it's a sin and should never have committed for the sake of sparing a friend. But that was his mistaken loyalty. He told a lie, he got the punishment, and you never knew until a couple of days later that you did not get punished because somebody else took your place. What a good boy, you say. What a pal. But children, all the pals in the whole world together don't even begin to be as good as your brother and your sister. All the brothers and sisters in the world cannot begin to love you like your own father and your own mother. There is nobody in the whole world that you can trust like your father and mother. Not your brothers and sisters even. There is nobody in the world as good as your mother and father for saving you from sin. When they tell you that there are children in school that you can have nothing to do with, they are right and you are wrong. I told the children yesterday that if your mother and father tell you something, they are right. Once in a while, they might make a mistake and be wrong. But if they are wrong, children, they made the mistake out of love. But the minute you disobey them, you are wrong, and you did not make the mistake out of love. Do you understand that? You made it out of meanness. You made it out of selfishness, and you gave the devil a stronger clutching hold on you. Remember, I said, you are young now, and you are in the state of grace, and God is holding you by the hand, and you are holding God's hand, but the devil is holding onto the cuff of your trouser leg and dragging behind you. He is holding onto the hem of your skirt. You are never free from the devil. He is shifting his grip. He is trying to get closer to you, hold onto you more tightly, and convince you to let go from the hand of God. The devil has a purpose, and he wants you in hell, and I told you a little bit about it. But he uses bad companions as his first way to bring you terrible sin. Then he uses television. When your mother and father tell you that you may not turn on the set and just sit there and watch, when they tell you that there are only certain programs you can see, or, and this is the smart thing, they tell you that you cannot watch television for any reason on any day, then listen to them and never mind that every child in the school is watching a certain program. If they say you cannot see it, you cannot see it. We will continue with Father's Retreat on Side B of this tape.